We are happy to welcome to the program an author, podcaster, speaker, personal trainer. He's the founder of the Relationship School and has got a terrific new book out called Getting to Zero, How to Work Through Conflict in Your High-Stakes Relationships. We welcome in Jason Gaddis. Jason, thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks for having me, guys.
Why is it, Jason, that people look at conflict as almost always a bad thing?
Well, I think it's because how we're wired, our biology and then our history. So if we look at our biology, we're social mammals, and we don't like being outcast in the dyad. We don't like being rejected or abandoned, and we certainly don't like not belonging to a group. So conflict puts all of that up front and center. Like, we might actually lose this relationship if it goes poorly. And then our history is, you know, a lot of us grew up in families where things were kind of challenging, and that all comes up in the present when we're in a conflict with an adult friend or partner.
And for you, as you share in the book, it was the end of a relationship that really opened your eyes to looking at things in a different way.
Yeah, it was actually the end of many relationships, to be clear. 10 years, actually, of repeating the same relationship pattern, of pushing women away, staying emotionally available, unavailable and guarded. Just had me, you know, I was always blaming the woman for this isn't working out. And really, I finally realized I was the problem. And I was actually the one blocking the whole program because I was so conflict avoidant and so afraid, honestly, of intimacy.
Well, what your book is really a path. It's a guidebook to make progress in these areas. And the key, as you point out, is about finding understanding and also making a connection with people.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if two people can genuinely listen deeply to each other until the other person feels understood, then there's like, wow, there's this amazing new place that we can be in that creates actually connection.
I thought it was very interesting, too, when you talked about two sides of the coin here that can both cause problems. One is too much closeness, and the other is too much distance.
Yeah, being a social mammal, we don't like it when people are too close to us, and we don't like it when they're too far away from us. And so we don't get a text message back, for example, and we just get silence and it's crickets. For some of us, depending on how we're wired, that can be very threatening and can create a conflict. For other people, if someone's texting us all the time and blowing up our phone, likewise, that can also create conflict because it's annoying. Like, it feels like someone's in our space.
Jason, how does the way each of us respond to conflict determine the way our relationships are likely to go?
Well, that's a super good question because I think it's everything. In fact, you know, I've interviewed the world's leading experts on conflict and on relationships, and, you know, we all say the same thing, which is the most successful, strong relationships have one thing in common, and that's the willingness and ability to work through conflict. And if you're wired in such a way or you're resistant to work through conflict, you're just missing out on all the goods that a deep, fulfilling relationship has to offer. Because it's just a necessary part of good relationships is conflict. It's just part of the path.
We're talking with Jason Gaddis. His book is called Getting to Zero. I was especially interested in your book on the chapter on becoming a relational leader. And obviously the key to that is owning your own behavior, admitting that you're stuck, taking personal responsibility, and then embracing and engaging in conflict.
That's right. Yeah, the relational leader says, they raise their hand and say, hey, my part is, and then it's finished the sentence, right? That's one of the fastest ways we can dissolve any argument is to just say, look, I'm sort of tired of arguing here. What I'm doing incorrectly or wrong or offensive or hurtful is this. And I imagine the impact on you is blank. So we can kind of start to empathize after we take responsibility.
I think all of us have a tendency to repress some emotions. Is it anger? What's the one that you find we repress more often? Is it anger? Is it fear? Jealousy? Where would you go on that?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think fear. Most of us don't want to admit we're afraid, especially men. We don't want to admit we're afraid inside of an intimate relationship. But that's what's going on. When you're defensive, you can pretty much guarantee you're afraid. Your scared animal inside of you is afraid. And it's no big deal. It's just what we do when we feel threatened. We're scared. And we want to protect ourselves. And some of us go on the offensive. Some of us go on the defensive.
I thought it was really interesting when you have got what you call the conflict box example of ownership. And the last question is, my part in our unresolved conflict, how tough is that for people to identify their own individual role in what's happening?
Oh, man. It's very difficult. Again, if you're with someone who won't do that, it's going to be a very challenging relationship for you. Ideally, good relationships are two people who are willing to make that extra step and say, look, you know what, I kind of screwed up here. My part is this. I raised my voice. I didn't text you back. I was kind of a jerk. That goes a long way to settle the other person's nervous system. But man, some people want to stonewall, gaslight. They're just not interested. And those are the hardest people to be in a relationship with.
I think for a lot of people, you just a lot of times will ignore behaviors of other people and sometimes your own and say, I'll just move on. I'll get past this. But you talk in here about the cost of low-grade stress. Can you explain that?
Yeah. When I feel threatened and I don't speak up about it, I'm creating an inner conflict inside of me. And we all have that experience when a coworker upsets us or someone very close to us, a family member, is mean during the holidays or they cut us out of their life. Something kind of, it feels traumatic maybe with another person. It keeps us up at night. And if we don't deal with that in an ongoing way, we carry what's called allostatic load, and it's basically stress inside of our body. And there's all kinds of science around this, around cortisol, kind of a, I call it a low-grade cortisol drip going on all night and all day. And stress is kind of the silent killer. It's a lot of us are so living inside of stress all the time, we're not aware that it's actually hurting us. And the long-term studies are pretty remarkable. In fact, the Gottman Institute, they say they study couples, you know, with vigor, over 3,000 couples, and they say couples who know how to do conflict well live 10 years longer than couples who don't. I mean, I think that says it all right there.
Or does it just seem 10 years longer? No, I'm kidding.
Right, good point. Good point.
Fair. The second part of the book is about how to get to zero. But let me ask you first, what does zero look like?
Zero looks like it's the place where you and someone else that you're close to, maybe a spouse or a business partner, you feel really good. You feel solid. Like the two of you are a team. You're united. The space between you is clear of any resentments or conflicts, and it just feels good. That's zero. And then invariably, as the days go on and weeks go on in any relationship, there's going to be a snag between us where we're both not at zero. And the work is, you know, essentially the book is just how do we get back to that good place again?
How do you identify triggers, both your own and other people's?
Yeah, anything that threatens me, if I'm in a relationship with you, like you could have a look on your face or you could raise your voice or I could perceive that there's a raised voice there, that could trigger me. And a trigger just means it activates like a ignition switch. It turns on my scared animal. And now I go into one of four postures. I posture, I collapse, I seek or avoid. And that's a way to just protect myself. So we all get triggered by different things in life, whether it's the news or something your friend said yesterday. It can be upsetting to us. And so it's important for us to have the self-awareness enough to know, ooh, these are the kinds of things that bother my scared animal or that bother me. And you, if I'm in a relationship with you, I want to know the kind of things that bother you too, because that way I can be sensitive around how I'm being with you.
How many of these triggers, Jason, how many of our responses often go all the way back to childhood?
That's a good question. I had a teacher once tell me that if it lasts longer than 5 minutes, my upset, then it's probably historical, which is a pretty bold statement. And I think that says a lot, though. I think it's true that, for example, I've been married 14 years, and there's things my wife does that still trigger me into old sort of childhood memories that are just in my body. They're in my nervous system, because the body has this amazing way of not forgetting threatening experiences, even though my mind doesn't remember them. That's why we sometimes are married to someone and we feel like we married our parents or we're with someone in our family from growing up and childhood. But I think it's a pretty big factor.
And obviously in any kind of personal relationship, listening is a key, but not just listening, hearing, understanding, and being an active listener.
Yeah, and I define active listening very differently than most people. I say active listening is I'm going to interrupt you because I want to be present and I want to understand you. Because a lot of us can't, especially under stress, if you're what I call a monologuer, you just go on and on about and lecture me about everything I did wrong, I'm probably going to check out, even if I'm looking right in your eyes. I did that when I was a kid. My dad would be chewing me out and I would just space out, you know, while he was chewing me out. So I wasn't really there, you know. We want to make sure as a speaker that we actually have a present person listening to us or we're not going to feel understood. So interrupting is pretty key.
And I thought this phrase really summarized a lot of what was in the book. People who suck at conflict also suck at collaboration.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Collaboration is inherently hard, I think, in my experience. You know, I've been married 14 years. I have a business. I'm working with people all the time. And collaboration is like, in some ways, it's easier to just go off on my own little island and do my own thing, right? When I get into a relationship with people and we're trying to problem solve something or raise a family, man, that's difficult. And conflict's going to be a part of the process because we're going to see it differently and we're going to want to do it differently at times. And so that, therefore, all the more reason we want to learn how to navigate conflict or any kind of communication breakdown.
The book is called Getting to Zero, How to Work Through Conflict in Your High-Stakes Relationships. It is a terrific guide. Will make you, I think, change the way you look at yourself and look at relationships in general. You can also go to Jason's website at jasongaddis.com. Jason, really enjoyed the book, and thanks so much for making time to talk with us this afternoon.
Yeah, thanks so much, Rich. It's been a pleasure. Appreciate it.
Jason Gaddis on Downtown, getting us started on a Wednesday afternoon.